Thank you for listening. For other great sermons, please visit us online at www.berkshirehillsbaptist.com.
This month is Stewardship Month, and we've been going through some different parts of stewardship. Today we're going to talk about being thankful. We can be thankful in different areas, and what's interesting is as I was studying Psalm 107, verses 1 through 32 especially, is you could preach for a month out of this one section. You could get an evangelistic sermon from here. You could get a sermon just for education purposes as you study the Word of God. You could get a sermon on edification to lift up God's people. That's the one we're going to do this morning. Hopefully it's going to lift you up as we look at these different areas. Verse 1 says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy." This morning we're going to look at how we need to thank the Lord. And we need to thank the Lord because we're redeemed. We're bought back. We're no longer in bondage. And as we look at this, we're going to see that we need to praise Him not just when times are good, but we need to praise Him after we've gone through bad times and we're heading in the right direction. Let's look at the first few verses, and these first verses are like, we're going to say, "Thank you, Lord, for finding me." Have you ever felt lost? Have you ever felt like you're like going in circles and nothing seems to be going right? Well, these first verses are for you if you feel like you've just been wandering. Look at this. "He gathered them out of the lands from the east and from west and north and south." But notice what they were doing in verse 4. "They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them." You know, this is people where we've just been wandering, going in circles. In fact, it says they've been wandering in a solitary way. Have you ever been wandering and even though you're in a crowd, you feel alone? You feel like there's nobody else there. You don't even feel the presence of God there for some reason. It's like an emptiness. And that's what he's talking about here. Wandering around, feeling lost, feeling lonely, wondering, am I ever going to get to where I need to be? But then it tells us in verse 6, here's what we need to do. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. We don't cry to the Lord before the trouble starts. Maybe we should. We don't cry to the Lord after the trouble is over, because it's over. We cry to the Lord in the middle of our troubles. And that's when we should cry to Him. Cry out to Him. And this word cry is the cry of grief, of anguish, of there is no hope except from the Lord. We cry out to Him. And notice, in their trouble, in the midst of the trouble, and what happened? And He delivered them out of their distresses. Amen. Here you are, you're feeling lonely, you're feeling lost, you're feeling like you're going in circles. The only one to cry out to is Him. And He hears you. And He lifts you up out of that loneliness. He lifts you up out of that despair. And verse 7 says, "And He led them forth by the right way." You feel like you're going in circles. So like being on some of the rotaries we have here in Massachusetts. You ever get on one of them rotaries? And you know you're supposed to get off here, But either you're going too fast or there's another car in the way and you just sort of drive past it. And you just send, sometimes if you're not careful, if you don't judge what you're doing just right, you're going to end up going in circles. And that's the way we feel sometimes. And sometimes you don't even know which of the exits to take. Because the signs around here, sometimes, like in Springfield, they're so confusing. Which one do I want to take? There's one rotary out there we go on to fairly regularly, and I still have trouble figuring out which one to take. But here, when we're going in circles in life, the Lord's going to be standing there going, this one, this is the right way. He takes you in the right way. He takes you down the right path. Get you out of that going in circles and head you down the right place and says what? That they might go to a city of habitation. That right path is the path that leads to heaven. That's the city of habitation. That's the place where Jesus has gone to prepare a place for you. We sing that song. We hear those verses. Do you really believe it? Is Jesus right now preparing a place for you? That's the city of habitation. So that when the day comes, you've been traveling, he's taken you out of walking in circles and put you on that right path. At the end of the path is the city. The city with streets of gold. The city with the gates made of pearl and the walls made of precious stones. But more importantly, it's that city where Jesus Christ dwells. And as we sang just a moment ago, one day we'll be able to stand face to face and say, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. So we don't have to feel lost. We don't have to feel like we're going in circles. When we get that feeling, what do? We look up and we cry out to the Lord, and he will hear you and put you on that right path again. And so what should our response be? Verse 8, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Why? Because he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. Praise the Lord that you're not lonely anymore. Praise the Lord that he's put you on the right path. Praise the Lord that he's filled your soul. You know, a hungry soul is an empty soul. But the Lord can fill that hungry soul with what? With goodness. His goodness. You know, we say in verse 1, that says we give thanks to the Lord for he is good. And when we know Jesus Christ, he comes to dwell within us. He fills our hungry soul with goodness. In fact, he fills our hungry soul with all the goodness that he possesses. And our job, our responsibility is to let it out, to show it to others, to show the goodness of God to others so that they too can have their hungry soul filled. They too can find the way to the right path. They too won't feel lost and lonely. God wants to help you. And if you feel like you're walking in circles, if you feel like you're, you know, just wandering around and you've lost your way, cry out to the Lord and he'll hear you and he'll put you on that right path. But there's another group of people. Perhaps you say, well, I haven't lost my way. And I hope the second group of people doesn't apply to anybody in here. The second group of people that he talks about is what sometimes we call backsliders. People who have known the Lord. They know what God wants. And they basically have slid back from the Lord. So thinking about backsliders, we read in verse 10, such as sit in darkness in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron. Why? Because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned or despised the counsel of the Most High. Therefore, he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none to help. You see, there's a group of people that need freed from their sin. We're talking about believers, backsliders. I mean, yes, there are people that don't know Jesus Christ and never trusted him. They need freed from their sin too. But there are believers that have fallen back into sin. They put themselves back into the shackles and the bondage of sin. They have stepped out of the light and into the darkness. Scripture tells us that what? We are supposed to be in His light. We are to draw ourselves to His light. And yet sometimes we backslide. Sometimes people fail the Lord and they back away from the light and now they're in darkness again. And that's a sad place to be in darkness, to be backslidden from the Lord, to be bound again by the chains of sin. Jesus Christ, when He saved us from our sins, He never expected us nor never wanted us to put those chains back on. And yet sometimes that happens. And notice, He says the reason they did is because they rebelled against the words of God. Thus saith the Lord. And when we get to a point where we say, it doesn't matter, I don't care what God says, I'm going to do this anyway, we are rebelling against the words of God. It says they've contemned the counsel of the Most High. That word contemn means despised. They've despised what God's Word says that they need to do. What a terrible place to be. Because we're talking about backsliders. We're talking about people who've known the grace of God. People who've known the salvation of their souls from all their sins. People who have known the joy of the Lord, at least for a moment. And yet for some reason, and we all have, you know, I know we have family and we have friends just like this. For some reason they said, I don't care what God says. I don't care what God says to do. I despise what God's counsel is. And they're in darkness. And they're in chains. And they say, I thought I belonged to God. What am I doing here? Why did God do this to me? Well, God didn't place you in the darkness. God didn't place you in the chains. You did that all on your own. But God does do something. In verse 12, it says, therefore, He, God, brought down their heart with labor, and they fell down, and there was none to help. When they place themselves, when you place yourselves in darkness and in chains because of your sins, God puts labor on our hearts. That's despair. That's discouragement. That's what that labor of the heart is. And anybody, you know, if we talk to any of our family or our friends who backslid from the Lord, they are in despair. They are discouraged. They feel like, you know, everything is, the whole weight of the world is on their shoulders and they wonder why. And the answer is simple. You did it to yourself. That's not where God wanted you to be, but you rebelled against the words of God. You despised the counsel of Almighty God. And because of that, now you're discouraged. Now you feel like there's no help. But there's always help. Then they cried unto the Lord, verse 13, in their trouble. And He saved them out of their distresses. You can't get so low, you can't backslide so far that you can't cry unto the Lord and say, Lord, I repent, forgive me, and He'll reach down and pull you back up. How do we know that? His Word tells us He will. Amen? His Word tells us we can't get so far from God that we can't cry out to Him and He'll lift us, save us out of our distresses. For our family and loved ones who've fallen away from the Lord, there's still hope for them to cry out to the Lord. We need to pray that the Lord will. Sometimes people have to get so far away from God. You know, we're fortunate enough we're able to allow one of the AA groups to meet here on Sunday, on Mondays. And I've talked to some, you know, people who've had problems with alcohol in the past. And some people, they basically have to get so far away, they're basically looking at death's door until they come to the realization they need help. And sometimes people backslide so far, they come to death's door and they realize, I need help. So they may try alcohol again, but that's no help. They may try drugs. That's no help. They may try other things. They may try asking their friends. That's no help. That's what God says. They look around and there is no help except for the Lord. When they cry out to the Lord, cry out in anguish, cry out in despair, cry out as, this is my only hope, because it is their only hope, the Lord hears and save them out of their distresses. He'll save anybody out of their distresses. Verse 14 says he also brings them out of darkness and the shadow of death and breaks their bands asunder. He brings them back into his light. He gets rid of the bondage that they placed themselves in. And then what do? Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works for the children of men, for he has broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron asunder. Because he can do that, and only God can do that, we need to praise God that no matter how far we may backslide from him, we're never so far. We can't cry in our distresses. We're never so far. He can break those bonds of sin. Never so far. He can break those bars of us despising him, break those bars of us rebelling against him, and bring us back into his light. Woo! Glory! You know, God can do that. And God will do that. Whether you're lost, as we first saw, and just going in circles, cry out to the Lord. He'll bring you back. Whether you're backslidden, cry out to the Lord, and he'll bring you back. But you may be saying, well, wait a minute. I don't really feel lost. I don't feel like I'm backslidden. I feel like everything is going great. Well, he knew that. And he put some verses in here for you, too. Look in verse 23. I'm actually skipping verses 17 to 22. That talks about sickness that comes because of sin. But to shorten the message, I wanted to cover this last one. Verse 23, they that go down to the sea in ships that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. This is talking about just living life, doing, you know, going to work, coming home. You know, they use sailors for this, but really it could apply to anybody. They go out, and what do they see? They see the wonders of God and the works of his hands. And life is just running great for us. Perhaps you're one of those. You're not in sin. You're not backslidden. You don't feel lost. Perhaps everything seems to be going just hunky-dory. I used hunky-dory because dory's a sea term, a little ship. Hunky-dory, in case any of you didn't get that. And you're looking out, and you walk outside, and you're just praising God for his creation, for all the trees, the flowers that are blooming, the plants that are coming up, the grass that's growing that needs mowed so we can have the glory of watching it grow again, the birds that are singing, the stars at night. And we're just praising God for all his wonders because everything is going right with us. We're following the Lord. We're doing what he wants us to. And everything's, we look at his works. We see how he's working in our lives and guiding us in the right direction. But you know what? Even in just plain godly living, troubles come about. And these are sent by God for a reason. So we're out looking, you know, we're looking at all the good things, the wonders, the works. But look at verse 25. For he, God, commands and raises the stormy wind, which lifts up the waves thereof. They mount up to heaven. They go down to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man, or at their wits' end. Have you ever, you know, you're living life for God. You're doing everything God wants you to. You think life is good. I'm following the will of God. What can go wrong? And God sends a storm into your life. What's up with this, God? Why can't I just live a nice life? Why can't I just live a life on calm seas? And God says, no, I'm going to send you a storm. A bad storm. One that, you know, you can imagine the boat on the water, lifted up to the heavens. The boat goes up on the waves and comes right back down to the deck. You know, it says you reel to and fro, like being on a ship. You're staggering like drunken men. In other words, you're at your wit's end. Things are going great. You're serving the Lord, and things happen in your life. And what's our first question? Lord, what did I do? Why is this happening, Lord? Is there something in my life that's wrong? I thought I was doing everything right. And sometimes we get that false impression. We figure if we're following God, if we're doing everything God says, we're reading His Word, we're praying, we're fellowshipping, we're helping others, we're doing everything God says to do, we're praising Him. We figure every day should be coming up roses. Every day should be perfect. If we're following God, I shouldn't have any problems. And then God says, well, just to make sure, I want to sharpen your faith a little bit. I'm going to put a storm in your life. A bad one. One you didn't see coming. I want to see how you handle it. And He does it for several reasons, I believe. He does it, one, to test our faith. What are we going to do when a storm hits when we don't figure one should? But He also does this to continually proving to us that He is God. And because He is God, when we turn our life over to Him, we turn our, you know, it's just like marriage vows. It's for better or worse. And sometimes we turn our life over to God, we think it's all going to be better. And sometimes God puts a little worse in there just to prove it's not. To prove our faith. To draw us closer to Him. So what should our response be in the midst of this sudden trials? Verse 28. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He bringeth them out of their distresses. Amen. Have you noticed the theme here? Doesn't matter if you're lost, if you're backslidden, or if just something happens in your life. What's the solution? Pray to Him. Cry out to Him. The solution's always the same. Cry out to Him in our distresses. In the midst of the trouble. We don't wait till the storm is over and say, Lord, are You going to help me? Why? The storm's over. God doesn't want us to wait till the storm's over to cry out to Him. You know why? Because if we wait till the storm's over and we make it through it, we're going to start thinking that we got ourselves through that storm. As soon as the storm starts, He wants us to cry out to Him in the midst, and He'll deliver us from our distresses. And it tells us that, how's He going to answer? Verse 29, He makes the storm a calm so that the waves are still. Jesus did that with the disciples on a couple of different occasions. But you remember what happened when they went and woke Him up in the middle of the first storm? First thing He said was, O ye of little faith. You see, they forgot that if Jesus was there with them, that they would be okay, even in the midst of a storm. But they still cried out, and He still calmed them. Just like it says here. So after He calmed the storm, verse 30, then are they glad because they be quiet. So He bringeth them into their desired haven. You know, sometimes serving the Lord, we end up running into storms. We start serving the Lord. We start doing what He wants. Everything seems to be going just fine. And all of a sudden these storms hit. We're saying, Lord, I know this is what you want me to do, but this storm hit and I can't see any possibility of completing my mission for you, the one that I know was supposed to. I can't see any way in the midst of this storm. So we cry out to Him in our distresses, and He hears us, and He calms the storm, and He helps us get to the desired location to fulfill the will of God in our life. So what's that tell us? In the middle of a storm, don't worry about how you're going to complete the mission God's given you, because He's going to help you do it when you cry out to Him. Sometimes we worry about those things. And I believe this verse is telling us, stop worrying. We have one goal. When a storm hits, no matter what it is, cry out to the Lord and let Him take care of it. Do you have storms in your life right now? Do you have things that are happening that you just don't understand? Cry out to the Lord and let Him take care of it. It's as simple as that. And what is our other response? The same as it was in the others. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt Him also in the congregation of the people and praise Him in the assembly of the elders. We're to praise God all the time. Praise God for answered prayer. Praise God for calm storms. Praise God for setting us on the straight path. Praising God for taking us out of the darkness and putting us into the light. Just praise the Lord. Realizing that, yes, things are going to happen in our life. And from these verses, we see the solution for our part is always the same. If you have a problem in your life this morning, if you have a problem that you don't know how to handle, cry out to the Lord. Cry out in faith. If it's due to sin, repent and cry out. But cry out to the Lord. And He promises you He will answer you in your distresses. And He will take care of the problem. He will set you on the straight path. He will set you into the light. He will calm your seas. How can He do that? He's God, and He wants to answer your prayers, and He wants to answer them in the middle of your troubles. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God. Let's bow our heads, please, and shut our eyes. It's time now for you to respond. Is there something in your life right now you need to cry out to the Lord for? I don't know what it is, but you do. There's something on your heart right now. Cry out to the Lord and He'll help you in your distresses. When He helps you, we need to praise Him. Verse 33 says, let them exalt Him in the congregation and praise Him in the assembly. When He's helped you, when He's delivered you, you need to do as Jesus told so many of those that He helped. Go and tell what God has done for you. That's how we tell others, how we exalt Him. We say, man, I had this problem, and God helped me through it. I needed help over here. I prayed, and God helped me through it. And He helped me through it not just because He's God. He helped me through it because He's my Father. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. And this psalm, Lord, written so many years ago, still applies to us today. Perhaps there's some here this morning, Lord, who feel like they're going in circles. Let them cry out to you, and you'll set them on the right path. Perhaps there's some who backslidden, Lord. Let them cry out to you, and you'll set them back into your light. Perhaps there's some, Lord, that are just following your will and storms hit. Let them cry out to you, and you'll calm the seas. And then, Lord, let us praise you. Praise you for all that you've done for us. Praise you because you're God. Praise you, Lord, for answered prayer. Praise you, Lord, for the ability to pray. And praise you, Lord, for salvation. The salvation we have through Jesus Christ. Lord, as you work in our hearts this morning, let none of us leave here having not cried out to you in our distresses if we need to. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.